It's World of Dance, week four qualifiers, and Eva Igo is back.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, you guys, if you don't like this song, it was my choice. You can all blame me. Welcome on in to AfterBuzz TV's World of Dance After Show. We are here for week four qualifiers, and it's pretty exciting because Eva Igo really is back.
Yay!
Yes! I'm Kristen Burt. We are so excited to have you guys join us, and of course, joining me here at the table.
Aw, thank you, Jelly. Hello. Yeah, hi, everybody. My name is Kim Davey, and I'm so excited that it's just the two of us tonight, actually, so we can have a good banter about this amazing episode that we've just watched.
I know, and a Kiwi is on. A bunch of Kiwis.
A bunch of Kiwis. Super stoked, bro. Super stoked.
All right, I have to practice my Kiwi. I'm terrible at accents.
Well,
I'm
it's funny that you said we sounded like Mary Poppins because that's so not
British.
How we think
I know, exactly. We were talking about pop sockets, and I feel like I sounded like I was saying pop. No, pop sockets, and she was saying pop sockets. And then, but she's saying it in New Zealand, and I was like, but it sounds proper like Mary Poppins would say it, which is totally wrong country, and I do realize that.
We'll take that.
I know, it's a Julie Andrews, which is amazing, so. Lots to talk about, and we'll have a little bit of news at the end and some time shifts and changes that will be coming up. If you guys didn't see my 60-second dance scoop, I kind of broke it. Some news that NBC hasn't exactly announced yet, but no one yelled at me. A couple of the producers follow me, and I thought I was going to get a DM saying, shh, but no one yelled at me. So, no, I'm
You're
good.
The leader of the pack.
Sometimes I do get a little, like, scolded behind the scenes, but it did not happen. This is kind of a big night because, of course, Eva Igo is back. Mm-hmm. I knew they were saving her for last, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. But lots of debate on people who are returning for the second season, so we'll talk about that. But we are going to kick the night off with Jonas and Ruby. Mm-hmm. And before we get started, I kind of want to get your feel because we're 4 weeks in now. How are you feeling season two so far?
I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. Like, we've got obviously the other dance show happening at the same time, but this one just brings me in so much more. I think it's just the cultures and the different countries and obviously the big group numbers are just so impactful. I'm so impressed, and I know they've been picked up for season three as well.
Yes,
so
they are casting for season three right now.
So we are, it's a winner. I think it's awesome, and I just love what it's doing for dance worldwide.
Yes, and it has a totally different feel from So You Think, which of course is running right now, and they're in their, you know, their taped auditions and everything. We're not mm-hmm. kicking off the live shows until August 6th with them, but mm-hmm. I think right now this is they've gotten a little bit more of a rhythm on World of Dance mm-hmm. this season than they had last season. Mm-hmm. Last season they're like, we're just gonna whack you over the head with dance and then it's gonna be over mm-hmm. in an hour. Mm-hmm. So they've giving us more and more time mm-hmm. with dance. So.
And I love what just with Gina as well. I think she's doing a lot better this season as well, and especially her just quick little interviews backstage, just way more easier and flow, and it just all seems to flow a lot better, I think.
It does, and I think her nurturing side, I think that's really nice because she's not only is she a mother and knows how to nurture, but she's also a dancer and has that understanding too. So
she gets it,
which mm-hmm. is good. So as I mentioned before, Jonas and Ruby were the first couple up. And just to give a little bit of history, if you're like, gosh, Ruby looks really familiar, she should. If you're a So You Think You Can Dance fan, of course, she was top six. She was paired with Paul Carmirian on season 13, which was The Next Generation, as you guys should know. With Jonas, they were on season 8 of America's Got Talent. So they competed there. She also competed on season 7 of America's Got Talent with the Untouchables. She is not unfamiliar to reality competition show. But that's what I love about Ruby. She's always been fierce. And in the last couple summers, she has gotten even better and better. Like, watching her dance, it's been exciting. She is out of Dancetown, Miami. They crank out some amazing dancers, Manny and Lori Castro. Hats off to you because you guys are doing things really right. Mm-hmm. And again, they alluded to it, and I just want to point this out there. Everyone was like, oh, your brother competed, but no one said who it was. Her brother, D'Angelo and Amanda, were the competitors mm-hmm. last season. So mm-hmm. now you guys at least have some context to all of this. But
Just you reading off everything that she's done, it's just quite mind-blowing. And the drive behind that, yes. and obviously her, you know, father and just – I mean, the fact that originally they went to Lithuania to find Jonas.
To find Jonas, oops. Yeah.
And, I mean, that's dedication. That's like scouring the globe for the best of the best. So striking performance. She is so on fire. That girl is amazing. And I just thought their performance tonight was, I thought it was stellar. I thought it was incredible. Every aspect of it. Amazing.
Now, here's the one thing, because you mentioned Ruby the whole time. Are we, I love Ruby. I love Ruby Castro. Am I only focusing on Ruby? Because I feel like maybe I'm a little bit, and you just mentioned her too. I'm wondering, are we only seeing Ruby? They are a couple. It is the gentleman's responsibility, though, to present the lady.
It is, and he's doing a very good job. Yes, because he is. Yes, I am only mainly noticing her. So he is being a great support mechanism. However, yeah, she does top him, absolutely. She's got the slight edge for sure. I absolutely think so.
There's something so charismatic about her personality, too. Like, I remember interviewing her, and of course, this was several years ago, so she was tiny, you know, and it was one of those things. She's 14. Oh, she was 12 now that I'm thinking about it. So it's kind of amazing to think about, but there's something star quality about her that I'm like, I just can't take my eyes off
those,
of her.
The legs, the execution of all the moves, just, I mean, that one part tonight where she, you know, wrapped her leg around him and then flipped over. She's just so perfect. I don't think I've even noticed. Yeah, I mean, manicured to perfection.
Right expression.
Right, just so slick. So slick, so sharp, so smooth. I actually think she's probably one of the best dancers around at the moment.
I love her. Honestly. They are also two-time junior national champions, both in 2016 and 2018. So they are out there on the competition circuit as well. They're not just focusing in on TV. They're focusing in on the studio and technique and competing.
And everything, yeah. She's a busy girl. I would love to see her schedule, actually.
Yeah. Seriously. I have a feeling they're probably at this point homeschooled. I don't know. I don't know at this point because you get to that point. Mm-hmm. I did think that the note was very interesting that J-Lo was saying to her dad, Manny, like, you need to focus in on the choreography
next level.
Mm. Bring it up because they felt like last year that her brother and his partner, I know it was kind of awkward, but at the same time, when you have that insight, I mean, they have the insight of experience from last year, but then getting some insight like that from the judges, well, that's what you do.
Mm.
You know, you've got, the way they taped it, they would have like a few weeks off. So they would get time to go back to the studio this season, go back and work on that second dance for the duels and everything else. So you've got these notes now.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And obviously the choreographer, aka the dad, is right there listening. So he's going to bring it. And I just think it was so funny how they asked the brother. It's like, actually, that was my brother. That's hilarious. That's
my brother last season that you're talking about. And of course, they are in the junior category. And their scores, starting with Neo, of course, is 85, 87 from J-Lo, 82 from Derek. Mm-hmm. I thought Derek's note on wardrobe was also interesting.
Very interesting. About talking about like lines, and obviously when it's too busy, like her outfit was, there's a lot going on. You can't see the elevation and the lines in different areas because it distorts your view. And so that was a very valid comment coming from someone who knows.
And I didn't necessarily notice it, but then when I looked at it a second time, I was like, okay, makes sense. I can see that. There is a wardrobe department at World of Dance, so they are creating costumes too, but they also pull from the contestants' own, you know, wardrobe and things like that. So it would be interesting to know whether that was a World of Dance or a home one.
Oops.
Yeah, I know. Because, I mean, they're working with Marina, who does So You Think You Can Dance. She does world-class costumes, Emmy-winning costumes. So I don't know. We'll see what happened. Their average score, just so you guys have it, is 84.7. Yeah, so kind of interesting on that, but we'll see what happens in the next round with some of those notes and whether they take them. Because sometimes people take it.
Oh, you have. You'd be crazy not to, right?
You'd be crazy not to, and then other people are like, it doesn't work for us.
However, not necessarily him taking the note of the choreography, going away and working on it might not be what the judges were after, even if he spends hours trying to up his game.
I know.
You never know.
Judging is so subjective, and what they want one day doesn't always mean that's what they want another day. But I know you guys want lots and lots of days of AfterBuzz shows. We've got a lot happening this summer.
We so do. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, here at the network, as you probably know, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from drama, we got reality TV, sci-fi, and so much more. So there is no other network that works harder than us here at AfterBuzz to serve all our TV fans. So, but now we need your help pretty, pretty please with the cherry on the top. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. So it caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that may interest you. So subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows we're sure you'll love. So since you're already tuned into our current reality competition show, aka World of Dance, you may also like to check out this So You Think You Can Dance, which is on at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. You may also be more interested in MasterChef, if you're a cook, maybe. The Challenge, The Four, any of these ones. And remember that we have channels in other genres as well, not just competitions.
That's right.
So don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. Just note that.
We like that.
Yes, we really like that. So it's super easy. Hit that subscribe button now for an even easier experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, we'll shout you out on air when we've got the chat going.
Yes, we'll do that next week when Teague is back. She's always good with the laptop.
She's the amazing chat girl. So thanks for being best fans. And we promise to continue to do our best to serve you and shout you out. So please stay involved on the chat next week onwards. And we would love to interact with you there. So
love
awesome.
That. So good. All right, because there's so many incredible like reality shows, so many incredible competition shows. Let's get back to our competition with the Bratis. And this is okay. I think this is super interesting because Bratis are actually very well known worldwide, and I don't know if the general like dance audience is aware of them. So I'm kind of excited that they're here on this show because they deserve the recognition. And I know for you, You're very excited by this.
New Zealand represent. Yes. So good. It's always so fun just hearing that Kiwi accent, and especially when they're doing like the Bratis style when we talk like we're homies. Yeah, bro, we're totally in like this. Yeah. It's so funny.
See, now I'm going to talk like a mobster. I'm so horrible with accents, and I'm like, I'm trying to be like a brother, but then I can't do the Kiwi accent.
That's so awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, New Zealand has so much to offer, and obviously J-Lo spent a lot of time with Paris Goebel as well. It's done a lot of her choreography. And that really brought New Zealand into the scene, onto the stage. But we have some amazing talent, specifically in hip hop. And these guys just rocked it tonight.
Yes.
They're amazing.
And they're two-time Hip Hop International, like back-to-back gold medal winners.
Yep.
So they're very well known on the international scene. I think late last week I had an interview up with Desi Hoppers. Remember Bollywood Hip Hop guys? Which, guys, this will make you cry, this interview. They talk about, like, they're breadwinners for their family. They're bringing honor to their country. They're bringing money home to their country. Mm. So doing well for them on the show is really important. But they said one of their inspirations is the Bratis.
Cool.
And so when they saw them backstage, like, they were like bursting in tears. They were so happy to be in the presence of them, which I thought was really, it's wonderful to see something like that.
Yeah. And that's why obviously something like this, a show that brings all the countries together again, is just amazing. Such an amazing world stage to actually be influencing other countries as well. It's so awesome.
I know. It's the joy of dance. I love this.
Yay.
And so this routine I thought was very creative, very outside the box. Let's take a gym bag. Yeah, let's take a gym bag. And what can we do with it?
Yeah. I mean, it was just so creative, wasn't it? Because it's something you haven't necessarily seen before. And it's just a new element. And the way that it was choreographed and specifically put in the correct places. I mean, there's so much room for error. And obviously all the different head masks and bits and pieces that came out of it. They're just pros. I mean,
I liked that there were a lot of levels to it. Mm. Like you were seeing that, you know, there was excitement when they were in unison, but then there was excitement when they were each doing something different and you didn't know where to look. But it wasn't too busy. And I think that can be a challenge. You can make things look too busy.
Yes.
But they actually kept you really focused on the task at hand. And I thought I was excited by what they're going to bring forward in the duels because I feel like they're going to be very competitive.
Oh, absolutely. And just that one move, I just have to mention, you know, when at the start when they had the bag open perfectly and he dove through it. I mean, imagine if you got tangled. It's so easy to do. Like, you never know.
That would have been me. I would have been the girl whose foot would have gotten, like, caught, wrapped in the end. And then I'd be like,
oh, I'm strangling right now. I didn't quite make it through. That's hilarious.
One other thing I want to mention, too. And, you know, we don't hear this from the American competitors. And I know that we're an American show and blah, blah, blah. But the idea of competing for your country and bringing honor to your country, like the Olympics, you know, when every 4 years we watch. But we've heard that from New Zealand. We've heard that from India with the Desi Hop. And I kind of like that, you know?
It's super sweet, but I suppose it makes more sense if they are from a different country here in yours, yeah. and you guys are just like turning up for the day, go to audition, go home, have some dinner.
Yeah, you're like, I live right down the street.
Yeah. We're like, flights, accommodation, it's a huge thing, it's a massive investment, and it's probably a lot of fundraising and stuff. Well, obviously they get put up and stuff, but
they get flown here. I would love to know, actually, because of the way the schedule was this year, where they were like last year they kept everyone on site and they did it, and then if they were done with you, they sent you home. But this year they were flying people in and out because there were a number of weeks in between your round and then the next round. I'm really wondering, are they flying people back and forth to Japan, New Zealand? You know, I'm thinking.
Well,
of
they might
of these...
just put them up at like Home for Dancers, and then they can just have classes whenever they like it. Debbie
Stay
Reynolds,
here in LA,
Mighty A, keep practicing.
Yeah, I wonder if they did that because it's very cheaper. Expensive to start sending people to India, and then you're dealing with jet lag and things like that.
And that's no fun.
I need to ask. All right, I'm going to ask around about.
Yeah,
that
ask
one.
About that.
That was a good
well,
one.
Well, because the average flight's at around $2,000 to New Zealand per
and
person.
You've got a crew. Yeah, you've got a crew of 6, 8, 12.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people to be flying
so it's
back
a
to
lot
Japan.
Cheaper to accommodate. Yes, that'd be good to know.
I know.
Thanks,
I want to find. Yes, I know exactly who I'm going to ask. So, Chris Curry, you're getting a DM from me tonight. Okay. That is the executive producer of the show. I'm going to go straight to the source. Okay.
Works.
Yeah. And this was a little bit interesting because I thought that J-Lo really had a feeling about the Bratis and Derek and Neo did not. Mm. Not that the scores were awful, but there was enough of a fluctuation there.
Yeah. I was significantly shocked by the guys' low scores. I thought they'd all be up around the 90s, and they weren't.
Yeah. So. I mean, so Neo was 85, J-Lo was 92, Derek was 86. But I thought maybe like 88, like even in disagreement, like an 88, 89.
Maybe it's because I was Kiwi and I was like, they definitely deserve 90 plus. But yeah, I thought it was low for what they presented. So
yeah, I think I would have for this particular round because I prefer that they start on the lower side and give you guys everyone room to grow with the scores. Mm. Giving like the 95s right away is a little but you know, if you give them like 88 to 90, I feel like that's enough like push to be like, okay, now we're gonna try and aim for like 94, 95 for the next round.
Yeah, it baffled me. I don't really know what to say with that apart from, yeah, it was quite strange.
Yeah, I don't either know. Okay, the Bratis were in the upper team division too. I just want to make sure that I clarified
Maybe
that.
Their finger got a little stuck and they couldn't quite push it before they locked it in.
Yeah, that's another good thing for news. I'll talk about that. Remind me about that on judging and scoring and things like that because there was an interesting conversation going on Twitter about that. And someone jumped in and I was like, oh. Okay, so we'll handle that in the news section. But Lucas Marinetto was the third competitor of the night in the junior category. Mm-hmm. Someone who is also familiar to many of you who watch So You Think You Can Dance in the Next Generation. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was on Team Gabby during the Academy rounds. He is also, because he's a good tapper, he was on the Christmas Story Tour in 2016. And if you've ever seen the show, they do a ton of tapping. These kids are incredible. They carry that show. If you've never seen it and it comes to your town at Christmas, go see it. Lucas is 14. Let's talk about his dance first, and then I want to talk a little bit about sort of the emotional side to this because there was some deep stuff that I was, whoa. Let's talk about his tap. I'm not a tapper, so I know what to listen to, but I don't necessarily know how to distinguish everything.
Yeah. Well, I just thought overall for performance value, it was interesting the J-Lo and that were talking about how he needed to find his style. Mm-hmm. You know, the greats of all the different styles that are significantly their own. It was weird because I thought he really bought the swag and the hip hop version of tap happening. And I really thought he had his own style. So I was very confused by that feedback. But he's unique in that way. And he used the camera. Obviously, he knew what he was doing there. And no, I thought his tap was great. I loved his shoes.
His shoes were great.
Were very cool. But overall, good, great. I really liked his style more than his actual tapping as well.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out to the audience and you guys. Obviously, we don't have the chat room running tonight, but you guys are there. You're hearing us. Give us some comments below because I am not really sure if I think World of Dance completely understands tap. And I'm going back to season one, and you guys will remember this, the big duel between Kyle Van Newkirk and Les Twins. And I'm not sure if they've wrapped their brain around it yet or how to handle tap or what to do with tappers. Where I think So You Think has actually done it very well. And they kind of understand that tappers are cross-trained and they can do the hip-hop tap or they can have the classic style and that you can do a variety of things. But every tapper does have their own unique style and it doesn't always have to be a prop and it doesn't always have to be a story. It can be something from your soul. So I'd like to hear, I'd love to hear your opinions on that and sort of like what the, you know, all so of the viewers.
Are you thinking, can you explain that a little more about what you mean? Like why you think World of Dance don't get it?
Because if you take a look at how World of Dance handled Tappers, all the contestants last season, they kind of like blew through them really. Yeah. And they kind of did, when they did the duels with Kyle Van Newkirk, did you watch season one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they had that big duel and it was like David versus the Goliath and they built it up, but then that was it. Like, we just never heard about Tap again the rest of the season. And so the comments, what I'm saying is that the comments from the judges make me think they're not really understanding Tap because none of them are Tappers.
Mm.
And so they're, you know, they're giving direction to Lucas that I think is a little bit of a mixed message because I think for someone who is, how old is he? Is he 14, 15?
Yes.
He's 14, I said. That 14 years old, I feel like he has a sense of self and a development of style. It's still evolving. He's still young. I'm not necessarily sure the judges really know how to judge Tap.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair comment. Not know how quite to judge it. Because, yes, exactly, I thought he definitely had his style. For sure.
And they put the chat on the screen.
Yeah, we've got the bright light going on.
Derek does tap, but he is not a tapper. I think that's the one thing. He does have, he probably has the biggest depth of understanding of the three of them, for sure. But I think that he's someone who is still a student of tap and he's still experimenting with it. He's great at it because he's a percussionist. So he really understands rhythm, which is great. But, I would like to really hear more about, I'd like to hear more from you guys to see if it felt as mixed message, not only this year, but also last year when it comes to tap.
It is so hard though, when you put tap in the mix, because unlike all the other individual disciplines that you can do as a solo, like the contemporary or the jazz, where you can, this probably sounds wrong, but really move around the stage and do flips and tricks. And there's so much more visually to see. Whereas with tap, you're generally, this is a generalization, but quite a lot more constrained with what you can do. So therefore, putting it against like big group numbers and things like that, it's so hard and it feels so limited. And it's not like, so you think you can dance where they're going to come out and do the different disciplines and prove their worth in that way. So it is, tap's always been a hard one.
I know. See, this is where I'm going to disagree on this, because I would say like you bring a Chloe Arnold out on the stage, you bring a Savion Glover, they're going to cover that stage. Gabby Diaz knows how to cover a stage. Who else am I? Zach Everhart. I'm thinking of people, even guys, help me out here. Team Tap, Team Tall from season 10. Aaron, thank you, Aaron Turner. I was like, yeah, help me out, people. Aaron Turner is another one who could command a stage. So,
well, they definitely can command a stage. I think I just mean like this space above the stage as well, like the airspace with all the flips tricks like that.
But some tappers actually do flips.
They
now.
Do.
So it's
not as many.
Not as many, but it's kind of interesting. So I'm interested to see how far. I actually honestly do not know how far Lucas goes, even though I know the outcome. I don't know how far he goes. So I'm interested to see his journey and his path, because I would like to see more tap on this show. I would also like to see more ballet on this show.
More ballet, yeah.
I think that there's other styles as well beyond just hip-hop cruise, you know, more crumping, more popping, locking. I think that there's a lot of exploration the show still has left. So there we go. I don't know. That, I'm kind of heated on that. The other thing that on this topic, boys in dance. This was a hard one, and I'm sure his dad is going to watch this, and it's going to be a hard one for him to watch and hear.
Watch back?
Yes.
Yes. It's such an interesting topic, isn't it? Because we come across this every single day in dance studios. Predominantly when you're growing up in a studio, you've got like the token boy in the class or in the studio, a couple, a handful. And it is so much harder for them than the girls, obviously, because they're the odd one out to begin with. But just the struggles they have to go with at home as well, if you haven't got a supportive dad who understands why you're not into masculine man
sports. Baseball, football, yeah.
Yeah, and thank goodness his dad's come around for him. But it was obviously, it's not like it was a selfish thing. I think he was literally, the father was super struggling with it. You know, like he just couldn't understand.
And you know, and this I think happens with women who have daughters that you're thinking, I want them so badly to take ballerina. Dance class and have a ballerina. And I would think if I had a daughter and she was like, I'm going out there on the soccer field, there would be a part of me that would be a little crushed because you have all these hopes and dreams for your child.
The tutus and the pink.
The tutu, the pink. And, yeah, and I'd wind up with the biggest tomboy, which is totally fine because you want the kid to explore and be themselves mm-hmm. and feel great about what they're doing. But a little part of me would die inside going, I can't believe she hates dance.
Can you just put it on so I can at least take a photo?
So I definitely don't want to crucify the dad because what he was feeling was just a very human emotion. And props to him for admitting it on national television. And obviously it's been a painful topic for their family,
too. Well, you saw the mother in tears, just the pain of trying to, like, probably deal with the husband and the son for years of just trying to bring them together. And she's stuck in the middle. Yeah, it was tough. But he's there now. One thing I picked up at the end was how, I can't remember the context of it, but they were talking about, I think it's to do with his gangster suave tapping, and they were talking about take your money at school. And he's like, yeah, well, that's normal. And then Derek's like, I hear you. So just also the fact of boys in dance often going through the bullying at school when they're younger as well. Stealing their lunch money, trying to work out their sexuality, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. It's real and it's huge and it's brutal, but good on all those boys are just nailing it because we love boys in dance. And then so many amazing role models to look up to when you're older as well. There's so many amazing hip-hop dancers.
But you're on TV, Lucas, so you know what? Props to you.
I don't think he has a problem, does he? He's very secure.
I don't think he does, but it's like anyone at your school, you could just be like, oh, I was on NBC World of Dance this summer. Yeah. What did you do in your summer break? I'm not on NBC. Well, you're not on, right? I don't know. Like, that's amazing.
So good.
I know. So excited. 82, 84, 82. So the guys, both Neo and Derek gave him 82. J-Lo gave him 84. So 82.7. This is definitely a topic I want to kind of follow throughout the season. I don't know how far Tap makes it. So remind me if I forget about it when we hit Tap again. Tap. All right. Of course, we want to remind you guys that some of you like to watch us on video on YouTube and others like to watch us on iTunes. And we really appreciate if you guys can subscribe to this podcast, give us some comments and feedback, 5 stars. It helps boost us up there, gives us higher visibility. And I know for me, I'm a podcast person. We have a lot of traffic here in Los Angeles. I kind of enjoy listening to podcasts.
It's a lifesaver, isn't it? Otherwise, we're sitting in traffic doing nothing with our lives for half of our lives.
Exactly. So, you know, do whatever's convenient for you. I know some people prefer the visual. That's also a great way to watch. But if you can subscribe, it always helps us out. Because, you know, we're building this podcast too. We're only in season two. We're a young one. So any little support always helps.
Yay.
Yes. All right. Let's move right on to expressions. This is another one I think like we're going to have some discussion. All right. They're out of Indianapolis. They're a contemporary, and I'm going to call them a dance team because that's what it felt like. Carla Curatolo is their choreographer. She's also the owner of their Expressions Dance Studio. Very well ballet trained. And I think you're seeing some really wonderful technique out of those young women. And I appreciated that. They're, of course, in the junior team category. What did you think about this one?
I thought they were outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And as they said at the start, you know, we're not the underdogs just because we're from a small place. Don't, you know, put us in that pen yet. And they came out and they delivered. Obviously, the technical training and with the weights on the legs is always a good one. I can imagine they were drilled from an early age and it absolutely makes a difference, doesn't it?
This is relatively a young dance studio, too. Yeah. They've been around 10 years. And so obviously these girls have probably have been there since 7, 8 and they're all together. And I think that's great. This is where I thought it was really interesting. It was a male versus female opinion on what this dance was about and what it created and the emotion or lack of emotion. Because we really heard from J-Lo who was like, I was really moved by this. And then I also heard from, you know, Derek and Neo and I was listening to them and they're like, make sure it's authentic and it's not the facials, which we see in competition all the time.
Yes.
And I kind of felt in the middle, a little bit of both. I felt this routine was super joyful. I felt like it was a dance team. I felt like that they could be on ESPN when they do those incredible dance competitions. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to watch how people are able to turn like that in sync because I can't do it. So I think for this qualifier performance, it was outstanding and it was perfect the way it was. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that when they come into the duels, it's something different. And when I see dance team, I think high energy all the time. I don't necessarily think a ton of like reaching deep and having like sadder emotions or angry emotions?
I think there's a couple of factors at play there. I think number one, I don't agree with myself even as I say it. I was going to say they're quite young and have they experienced life enough coming from a small town to experience and express particular emotions. My second thing is I believe that J-Lo, possibly like why we were enjoying it, is because it really connected with girliness. It was very much a feminine sisters, like they keep saying their sisters and friends are all together. It's like we were able to connect with it on a feminine level to go, yes, that's like being with a bunch of friends that you love and you train with and they're just your dance buddies, you know? Whereas the guys were like, I don't get that part. You know, like,
and you know, it's also like one of the girls is graduating. There's I cried my way through my senior year because I was like, next year we won't be here together. No. And there is something that bonds you with your dance friends and things like that. And I got to tell you guys, I had a friend in my show earlier today to the point she and her daughter came to watch because her daughter's obsessed with Audrey Case, who was on the show. And I just want to say that it's really kind of made me think of that because she and I grew up together dancing back in Boston. Mm-hmm. And here she was, you know, a few years later with her daughter, you know, on my couch. And I'm like, this is what dance bonds you over. It's like, it's unbreakable.
Absolutely. Friends for life. Dance is in itself is an escape mechanism from life and expressing yourself. And then you've got people you do that with. Nobody else experiences those feelings. Like not your school friends, not your work colleagues. Dance and performing with music on stage and feeling it and bonds and then the highs and lows of competition. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Dance friends for life.
There's a lot. And we were talking, you know, about one of our dance teachers and I used to talk back to her a little bit because I'd be like, you can't do that. You can't say that to me. I'm a kid. I was that kid.
I can imagine.
I was that kid because I had parents that were like, you have a final tomorrow. You can go to 1.5 hours of dress rehearsal and then we're pulling you out. And she would get mad and I'd be like, talk to my mother. I gotta go.
Yeah, drama queen.
Well, it was literally like school was my, I was a student first and a dancer second. Wow, yeah. So if school wasn't going well, there was gonna be no dance. So I did really well in school for a reason. I'm really, really interested in what their duels round looks like with expressions. Yeah. I'm really fascinated. And I also want to know if their senior dancer wound up with a dance scholarship somewhere to one of those amazing universities and a dance team. So if anybody knows, feel free to DM me on Instagram at TheKristenBurt because I want to know because I feel like she's got this great technique. Are you going off to like an amazing dance scholarship? We'll see you on ESPN.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, I don't know if you noticed when they first came out and they were all standing in fifth or and then one girl at the end was completely just standing like with straight feet. I was just like, shocking.
She missed her mark.
Like, how did that happen? Just because that's so perfect. Anyway.
I know. Interesting. So these are another set of scores, 84, 90, and 87.
That's good. I think
that was perfect for them. Yeah. But it's just funny. Jill's like, you're getting in the
girls.
90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 87. I think that was a great way for them to come out of the qualifiers.
Yep.
Yes, for sure. And then topic number 5 is poriotics. You know, I love poriotics. They are really one of my favorites. Winners, of course, of season 5 of America's Best Dance Crew. That goes back to 2010.
So Eight years ago.
They've obviously taken 8 years away after they won, too, which is kind of interesting. Okay. They have been performing a lot this year. I saw them at some of the World of Dance competitions over the in 2017 and 18. So something... This new show obviously really inspired them or kicked them in the butt to like get back into it.
They obviously had some break time to have real jobs or they went back to school.
Some of them got married. Some moved over to the Kinjas. Two of the members have moved over to the Kinjas. So they obviously still wanted to dance and, you know, it's poriotics. And if you guys have an opportunity, because I know World of Dance, the competition circuit I'm talking about, not the TV show, they have been performing as headliners there. So kind of check the, it's thisiswad.com. And if you hit their events tab, you'll see poriotics is performing quite a bit for them. And go, because it's like $20 for a full day. It's so cheap and they're so amazing to watch live. Your eyes are like, that's unbelievable what they do.
It was so interesting though because yes, they are so amazing, but I was actually a bit bored tonight. Like it started off excellent and I totally agree with Derek when he said he kind of sank into his chair. I was like kind of blanked out and I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh, that's actually a bit bored. So that was a shame. So I really hope they up their game next time.
And it's a note that we saw in season 1 when Jabberwockies, you know, came in and even Super Crew had this, you know, everyone has been at this level and they are legends in the industry. And you do have to, unfortunately, we don't always want to, but you got to look behind you and you're like, who's coming up? What are they doing? You do have to look at your competition because, well, this worked for so long. Now we're all here in this. So what kind of new tricks can you add? What can you add on the creativity side, the choreography, like everyone has to be up in their game, and that's nerve-wracking.
Absolutely. And it just gets harder and faster every single year. It's like the Olympics.
More tricks. Right? Yeah, yeah. The 540s, everything that they're doing is really kind of tough. I do want to let you guys know that Poriotics, some of the crew will be on my show on Tuesday, July 10th. Yes. And so my show is at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, to the point. It's on our sister channel.
Doesn't she have the best
Popcorn
job
talk.
In life?
Yes. We're going to be seeing a lot of, we will be seeing a lot of World of Dance contestants sort of flowing through here. I'm trying to get some on here too. It's a little bit harder because we're later at night, but the good thing is that NBC is very flexible with this and very open to it, and I appreciate that. So
thank you.
So Poriotics wound up with 87, 90, and 87 for a total of 88. So I'm thinking you probably think that's a little high.
I thought it was too high. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. For that performance. Compared to some of the other ones from earlier, like the brothers from New Zealand.
Yeah. That, root for the home team, my friend. Do it.
I will.
Yes. Okay, and then we get to the biggie. Yes. Last year's runner-up, Eva Igo, competing, of course, in the junior category because she's still itty-bitty. She's still 16, 15.
She's tall. She's always tall, though.
She grew a lot. When I saw her in November, I'm like, you've grown a couple inches since we saw you, and then she's grown even more now. So this is a debate that I know a lot of you guys are talking about, and I'm going to say this right off the bat. First of all, World of Dance identifies itself as the Olympics of dance. Mm-hmm. We've said this before. People go to multiple Olympics, whether you're Ali Raisman, whether you're Christy Yamaguchi, whoever you are, Michelle Kwan. I only know figure skating and gymnastics. But what I'm saying to you is that if that's what they're comparing it to, you're allowed to come back as long as you earn your spot. And let me tell you, Eva Igo earned her spot by being runner up. The show wanted her back. She wanted to come back on. That's all that needs to happen. Do you know what I mean? Saying it's not fair. Well, are you going to tell Ali Raisman it's not fair that she's gone to two Olympics?
No. Absolutely deserves it. Absolutely.
Totally. And you know what? There are other talented people, and wait to see how this plays out. Let me know if you think it's fair at the end of the season when you see how it plays out.
I think it's interesting because it's harder to come back because people have expected a certain level of you. You got second last time and now you're going to feel worse. Unless you win, you know, she's going to feel like, oh, I didn't do as well as I wanted. So the only
So here's the thing. So, okay, what if she doesn't win? And then is she like, gosh, I shouldn't have come back. But what if she didn't come on and totally said no to the opportunity, was she always going to think, what if?
Exactly.
We don't want to live life with what if.
No way. And obviously she's keeping in the public mind and being on television and doing what she loves. So, oh my gosh, go for it, girl.
Yes. And on the flip side too, people who decided not to come back, like the Keone Maris and things like that, I respect that too because they have a path and a plan and they're working on an incredible film that you guys are going to see. It's going to be amazing. But this is what I'm telling you, like, everyone has their own path as an artist, and they're the ones who decide whether it was a good idea or a bad idea to come back, and only Eva can make that decision.
She's young, so go for it, girl. Take every opportunity. Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you guys, if NBC is calling you and they wanted you for season one and they're like, hey, season two, would you say no? Probably not when you're 15, 16. I don't know.
I would say yes.
Yes.
There's probably not that many options going on right now. So, just got to stay in school.
Yeah. Hopefully. And part of the rules is people coming back. And guess what? People are going to come back for season three. And maybe people will come back three times. We don't even know. And remember, we still have DNA who's going to be on this season. Royal Flux is going to be on this season. Luca and Jenna Lynn are coming back. We've already seen The Lab. And if you guys, earlier today, I had Audrey Case and Will Thomas on my show for To The Point. They are a part of Royal Flux. They couldn't talk a lot about their experience because we can't reveal the outcome, but you guys saw that they're in the previews, they're in the qualifiers next week. They talked a little bit about what it meant to be in season one and what it meant to be in season two, and I think you guys will get some interesting perspective because their answer was not what I thought it was going to be. So I was like, okay, I thought it was going to go one way and it kind of went left.
Interesting.
So something to listen to. So let's talk about Eva. What did you think?
Terrible.
She's such a liar.
That girl, it's the passion. It's her passion, obviously her flexibility. It's just, she's so humble, such a sweetheart behind the scenes as well. Like, obviously you say she comes from, where is it, Minnesota?
Minnesota.
So, yeah, like you said, she hasn't grown up in the LA scene and hustle and bustle. She's so humble, but, oh, she's amazing. I just want to, I don't know, take her home and make her perform constantly. Like, keep going. Do it again.
Go now. Go again, Eva. Go again. Our dance mom over here.
Yeah. No, but in a sweet way, because that girl is amazing. I don't know how she can get better.
She's wonderful. And, I want everyone to also remember that there was not a lot of time for her to be in the studio the way there was the year before. Mm. She did the World of Dance tour, and that took up several months. Mm-hmm. There were appearances. People wanted her. She's adorable. People look up to her. She's shy and sweet as pie, as American as apple pie as you come. Mm-hmm. And I think that just put yourself in those shoes and start thinking about that, what that would be like and things like that. So I think she came out guns blazing, and I appreciate that because there is a signature Eva Igo that you're like, there's a fierceness there.
Oh, it's so fierce. And she's definitely matured a bit as well, I think. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And just how she was talking about how obviously lots of younger dancers now are seeing her as a role model, and she's only 15 herself. So, you know, she's got this whole, you know, reputation now to uphold, but she does it so beautifully and so humbly. I think she's a star. She's
grounded, great family. Her sister's a dancer. I just, you know what? Be nice to dancers. Welcome them back, okay? Yes. the scores on this one, 96, 95, 94. This is the only thing that I get a little nervous. Like, you know, when you start people up super high, I worry that you set people up for disappointment.
Yes. Well, and she even mentioned that, didn't she? She was talking about how, you know, 95, I was hoping to get higher and higher, but that means she literally needs to get...
I would honestly, if I were her, I'd be like, can I just start at like an 88?
Can you just give me something lower, please?
A good B plus is great because I can work my way into an A minus.
Can I swap it out?
I would have been a little nervous with that. But you know what? Sometimes when you're younger, you have less fear. So maybe that's better.
That's true.
Maybe that is better. And I think the other thing that she probably does need to step into, and Dee, I see your comments up there too, is that finding the softer side, finding the more emotional side, digging deep, because we know she's fierce and we know she's strong and powerful, but we also have the vulnerable side, which sometimes is scarier to show.
Oh, way scarier. Absolutely. And I just find it fascinating for she's 15, but any of the dancers around that young teenage years to actually be able to express the emotions that we as adults have experienced. They've only had such a short life and haven't been through half the things that they're going to go through, and to actually know the depths and the truth and the authenticity that comes from experience, I think it's hard for us to say to these guys that we need more emotion because they haven't actually ever been there in person yet. So when they can do that, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, I don't know, I'm just excited because I really want to see her on So You Think You Can Dance. She's too young right now. She's got a solid 3 years to wait, unfortunately. And we hope So You Think is around in 3 years. We don't have a crystal ball, but I was like, she's a perfect So You Think dancer.
Absolutely. Gosh.
I know.
She would have done it all by age 18. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about news. Yes.
Lightning.
I forgot about our little news thing. Ding. I spilled this in my 60-second dance scoops, which I do from time to time. I don't let you know when I'm dropping them. I just drop them on my Instagram account, on my feed. But World Dance is moving, okay? It's a moving. So here's what's happening. We're going to get all the way through the qualifiers to just about the end of July. So July 24th on that Tuesday, that will be the last Tuesday show. The show is then moving to Wednesdays on NBC, and it goes to 2 hours in time for the duels. Yes. So if you're wondering, like, we were supposed to get 2 hours. They promised us 2 hours. I had someone sit across from me at the table, David Gonzalez from World of Dance, saying, you're going to get 2 hours. Here it is. And it was funny because someone whispered in my ear that they were going to 2 hours, and then they're like, I can't say anymore. And then I was like, where and when is this coming? Because they're not going to shrink America's Got Talent down. That's a super successful show. And then all of a sudden, I noticed NBC has a crafting competition show starting July 31st by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman. And so
that looks funny.
Yeah. And if you guys have been paying attention, they have been rerunning World of Dance between 8 and 10 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Mm.
Oh, they're just prepping you for that. Mm-hmm. So we will also be moving the show at that point. We will let you guys know ahead of time what that new time is going to be. We just need to make sure everyone's on board and we can accommodate everyone's crazy schedule.
Yay.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's awesome. I'm so excited. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's my only thing. We've had a very almost 2 months of qualifiers. Mm. I wonder, and I don't know if they're going to sort of mix this up with season three, if they could do qualifiers 2 hours and then even
make it a little shorter.
Make the qualifying rounds shorter. Yeah. Do it in like 4 to 5 weeks. And then go into the duels. Because 1 hour is tough. They can't get that many people in. No. So,
well, what do we get? Like usually six, eight?
No, six. We've been getting six. Yeah. Yeah. So just a thought. I'll put it in people's ears. Nobody cares. They're like,
oh, they'll listen to you.
No, they're like, dude, we're a network. If we have the space, we'll do that. But otherwise, if we don't have the real estate, what are you thinking?
If the world was a perfect place, if it was all revolving place. Around dance, then perfect.
Yeah, I feel like the qualifiers should be condensed into shorter weeks and then give us more time on the back end.
It's really juicy.
Competitive, mm-hmm. juicy, like what's happening. Maybe make them do 2 or 3 routines in a, I don't know. They do that on So You Think. They do it on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
They're athletes. They can handle it.
They got it.
I always just think, it cracks me up. You know when they have to first run onto the stage and they seem like they're running through that hallway for a bit? It seems like quite a wee way to go. And then up the stairs, I'm like, wow, they're giving them a good little workout just to start.
It's a big tunnel. It's an impressive set. Tunnel. They're gunning for an Emmy. I'm just letting you know on that set. They're gunning for an Emmy for that set.
Yes. Well, it was beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. All righty. Well, we have to wrap up, believe it or not. I know. Anything good coming up this week? I know you do So You Think You Can Dance. So
yeah, we do So You Think You Can Dance Tuesdays. We've already done it for today, 6 o'clock every week. But yeah, we'll be obviously moving this one, and so that'll stay on a Tuesday. But yeah, just stay tuned and got lots more coming.
Excellent. Where can everyone find you online?
They can find me online at Kim Davey Live on all my social media. Or they can also find me at SheShinesOn.com, my dance tour business where we bring dancers from all over the world.
Kiwis.
Not just Kiwis. Aussies, Americans, South Africans, British. 2 week tours to New York and LA to do amazing dance classes and perform at Disney.
It's like the Olympics of dance tours.
It is oh my gosh, it absolutely is.
Take the Olympics that. Of dance tours. All right, you guys, I'm at Kristen Burt on Twitter, the Kristen Burt on Facebook and Instagram. Come visit me there. And of course, To The Point every single Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Such good stuff.
Yay. We'll see you all next week.
See you later, everyone. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.